look at verses 13 to 18. This is what it says. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir to the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, He Believed in the God of the Resurrection, Abraham's Righteousness. Pastor?
Good morning! Christ is risen. And it is indeed a good morning because he has risen indeed. So let us pray and get right into the word of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, Father, you are the God of the resurrection. You raised your Son, Jesus, from the dead on the third day, on Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago. And we believe in you, Father, because you are the one who calls into existence the things that do not exist, which is what you did when you created the world in Genesis 1 in just 6 real days. Father, you took 6 days and you created the entire universe into existence when it did not exist. There was no matter, there was no substance to anything, and you spoke, and it all came into existence because you call these things into existence when they do not exist at all. You are the God who has the power to do that. You have the power to do it quickly, instantly, just when you speak. But you also have the power to resurrect the dead, Father. And this is the God in whom Abram believed. Abraham, as we know him, believed. When he trusted you for your promise, the promise of salvation from his sin and the promise of all the blessings of your kingdom, the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, where we want to go. We want to go to heaven to be with you and your Son, Jesus. Abraham trusted you for these promises, and he was able to trust you because you are the God of the resurrection. And when you raised your Son, Jesus, from the dead, you demonstrated your power, the power that Abraham trusted in, and the power that we can trust in, because not only are you willing to save us and give us your blessings, you're able to powerfully, through what Christ has done in his resurrection. So, Father, help us trust in you, believe in you, and through the power of our faith that you give to us, the faith that you hand to us by choosing us and giving us this faith, through that faith, repent of our sins and obey you every day, just as Abraham did, to follow you and to trust you every day of our lives, so that we might enter the kingdom of heaven through faith. We've been studying the life of Abraham for a bit now, and we will continue to study his life. But let us look at Romans chapter 4, where we see Abraham's faith in your power to resurrect the dead, and that you did resurrect the dead in your Son Jesus Christ, and will continue to resurrect our dead hearts and even our physical bodies on the last day. I pray all these things in your name, Father, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We trust you to keep these promises. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to Romans chapter 4. We've been studying the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis, and Romans chapter 4 tells us about Abraham's faith in his life that we've been studying. The Apostle Paul tells us, Romans 4, 1 through 3. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by his works, then he has something to boast about, but not to boast about before God. For what does the scripture say? It says in Genesis, Abraham believed God, and that belief was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was the one who received some of the first promises of God. As we have looked at the life of Abraham, we have seen a man of great faith, a man who believed the words of God because he knew that God could never lie and that God has the power to do anything that he promises. God is the one who created the universe out of nothing. Things that did not exist came into being even through the Word of God. And there was nothing that existed before God spoke. Abraham himself would not have existed had it not been because of God's power to create him. We ourselves, right here, sitting in this room, would never have existed had God not spoken us into existence. And not only can God make things exist from nothing at all, God has the power to bring life back into existence after it has died. God has the power to raise the dead. It is this God in whom Abraham believed when God made his promises to him. But God's promises are not just made to Abraham, they are made to all of Abraham's offspring who would share his faith in these promises, share his faith in the God of the resurrection, Jesus Christ. So how did Abraham gain the privilege to receive these promises? Abraham gained these privileges because he is the forefather of all who believe in God. Yet Abraham was justified by God, or made righteous before God, because that's what being justified means. He was justified by God because of, was he justified by God because of the goodness of his own righteous works? No, he was not justified by his own righteous works. We must understand that Abraham did not have the righteousness he needed to have to enter heaven because of righteous works that he did. In other words, did Abraham earn the right to the promises of God by doing good things? No. Abraham did not earn his way into heaven by doing good things. And no one can ever get to heaven that way. No matter how hard we try, we cannot earn the promises of God and go to be with him in his kingdom, because all of us have sinned against him and against others. Do Abraham and us, if we try to be good people, have something to boast about before God? Definitely not. Because none of us can ever boast to God about our good works, the good things that we do. This is because God's works are perfect and holy, and any of the relatively good things we do are not like his works. Instead, all of our works are tainted with evil and sin. Instead, we are condemned to hell because of our sin, and our only hope for heaven is in Jesus Christ, who has the power to raise the dead. Every single person needs the God of Easter Sunday, the Easter God who raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead nearly 2,000 years ago. Everyone must believe in God, the God who has the power to raise his son Jesus Christ from the dead. All of us need the same righteousness that Abraham gained through faith. The scripture says in the book of Genesis that we have been studying, in the life of Abraham, that Abraham believed in the promise of God, and that this belief was counted to him as righteousness. It was not his own personal righteousness that guaranteed the promise, but his trust in the righteousness of his God to keep the promise that he had made. The righteousness of this God who became man through his son Jesus Christ, who is also God incarnate himself. And by incarnate, I mean the God who took on human form as the God-man Jesus, the Son of God. This is the righteousness that we need, the righteousness of Jesus and not our own. Romans 4:4-5. Paul says, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." If there were a person who could do good works to earn their entrance into heaven, if they could accomplish these good works in the manner which God requires, then this person has earned the blessings and promises of God. The wages or earnings of these righteous works would be counted by God not as a gift from him, but as a payment to the righteous person. If righteous works could be done to earn the promises of God, then heaven would be what the righteous person deserves as their wage or payment. But God requires these righteous works in a perfect, sinless manner. Any righteous works before God must not be flawed by sin, or they do not earn his blessings. When we sin, we fail to do the perfect righteous works that God requires. And rather than earn the reward of his promises, we earn the condemnation of his judgment, the penalty of eternal hell. We all have earned infinite hell instead of heaven, because God is both infinite and righteous. Because of our sin against him, the wage that we deserve is ultimate justice in heaven forever. Ultimate justice in hell forever. There is only one man who has ever earned the wages of perfect righteous works before God, and no one of us is that person. Jesus Christ is the only person who ever lived, who never sinned, and earned entrance into the blessings and promises of God, earned entrance into his heavenly kingdom because of his works. King Jesus is the only one whose wages have earned the promise of God as that which is due to him. But the one who does not work to keep God's righteous commandments, but seeks the righteousness of God through belief in his willingness and power to fulfill his promises, is the one who will be given the promises of God and enter his kingdom. God can change us ungodly people into righteous people because of his son Jesus' righteousness. The faith of the Christian is counted as the righteousness that they need to receive the promise of God and enter his kingdom. In other words, God has made a promise to all those who will believe in him, and his promises that he will offer us everything we need to enter heaven will come true if we will just trust him to keep his promises. And these promises are all fulfilled in what Jesus Christ has done in his perfect, sinless life, the payment he made for sin in his death, and the power he demonstrated in his resurrection from the dead. It is by trusting in the promises fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ that we are saved from hell by the counting of Jesus' righteousness to us through our faith. Abraham knew that it was through believing God's promise that he would receive this promise. Abraham knew that he would be saved from his sin and receive all the blessings of God in the future kingdom if he would just trust in God now, that God would fulfill this promise in the future. Abraham looked forward to the day when Jesus would become a man and die for his sin. Romans 4 6 through 8. Just as King David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. King David also knew of the blessing for the one who would receive righteousness from God separately from earning it by their own good works. King David also looked forward to the work of his Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would earn the forgiveness of his sins in his life, death, and resurrection. David said in the 32nd Psalm that the one who could be forgiven for their sins against God, their lawless deeds before him, would be blessed. They are blessed because their sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. The person who God would no longer count their sin against them is truly blessed because they will escape the justice of God in eternal hell and receive all the promises of God in heaven. Our lawless deeds that need to be forgiven by God are our sins. And all of us have committed these lawless deeds by breaking his law, which is shown to us in his word, the Bible. We have all sinned before God because we have not kept his word in his Bible perfectly. We have sinned, and the punishment for this sin is eternal hell. Romans 4, 9 and 10. But is this blessing of forgiveness then only for the circumcised people or also for the uncircumcised people? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was faith counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. But is this blessing of the forgiveness of God only for those who have been circumcised, or is it for anyone who will believe in God's promise to provide it for them? Can an uncircumcised person still receive the promise of God that was promised to Abraham and his descendants? For circumcision is the physical sign of the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham, that they received to indicate that they would receive these promises. Circumcision is a physical surgery done on the male private parts that sets the man who gets the surgery apart as a member of the nation of Israel, the nation which was chosen by God as his people in the Old Testament. All physical descendants of Abraham were considered part of the nation of Israel as they received this surgery and believed in the promises of God made to them through their forefather Abraham. But Abraham's righteousness that came from God was not given to him through his circumcision. It was his faith that was the source of his righteousness, and it came before he received circumcision, as we see in the story of his life in the book of Genesis that we are studying now in our church. Salvation comes not through a physical work like circumcision, or through a specific lineage or family like that of the Jewish people, but through having the same faith, the same trust in the promise of God that Abraham had. The fulfillment of all the promises of God come through faith in Abraham's Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And Jesus, that Messiah of the Jewish people, is our Messiah as well, if we will trust in him. The word Christ, the title Christ, means Messiah, or one anointed by God. And Jesus the Christ is the Messiah of the entire world, if they will believe in him and his promise. Romans 4, 11 and 12. Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose of this was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Abraham received this physical sign of circumcision not as the basis of his righteousness before God, but as the seal of that righteousness. The circumcision that Abraham received was a demonstration of Abraham's faith that he had in the promise of God. The circumcision was not the foundation of his faith. Abraham's obedience to the command of God to be circumcised, a command that God gave exclusively to the Old Testament people of God, the nation of Israel, was a fruit. The circumcision was a fruit of the faith that he had in God to keep his promise to him. The purpose of the circumcision was to point to Abraham's faith, which made him the father of all those who believe in God's promise, whether they're circumcised or not. The righteousness that Abraham received through his faith is counted to all who believe in God, now revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. Now revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what God has done in his son Jesus. Every single person who walks in the footsteps of our father Abraham by trusting in the promises of God made to him, and the promises fulfilled to all who believe in Jesus, every single person who does this will receive the promised salvation from the penalty of sin in hell. And everyone who believes in Jesus Christ will receive all the blessings of all the promises of God eternally in his heavenly kingdom forever and ever. All the promises of God promised to Abraham and to his offspring can be ours because Christ lived without sin, because Christ died to take the punishment we deserve, and because Christ rose from the dead and lives forever to advocate his perfect righteousness and perfect sacrifice to the Father for all who have faith in him and what he has done. Romans 4, 13 to 15. Because the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null, and the promise is void. For what the law brings is wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. The promise made to Abraham and all his offspring who would follow in the footsteps of his faith in God's promises did not come through perfect obedience to the law, because only Jesus could live in that perfect obedience. The promise of God is fulfilled to all who believe through righteousness that comes through faith in that perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ in his perfect life becomes our righteousness as we have faith in him for it. The righteousness of Christ is the righteousness that we have by faith. It is not those who attempt to adhere to God's law, to keep it with the intent to be saved by it, who will receive the promise of heaven. They are not the ones who will receive this promise, the ones who try to obey the whole law. Because no one can obey the whole law. The very attempt to try to obey the whole law in order to be saved and earn the promise of God makes our faith null and void. And if our faith is useless and our works cannot help us, there is no hope for the promises of God for us, and all that is left is judgment for us. No one can receive the promises of God through perfect obedience because they're sinners. And that's a reality for all of us. Trying to obey the law perfectly brings the wrath of God, the punishment of hell, because we fail every time when we continue to sin against him and against each other. But where there is trust, where there is faith, where there is belief in the promise of God that is guaranteed through his work in Jesus Christ, then where there is faith, there is no transgression or sin that is counted against us because of what Christ has done for us. Romans 4:16, the Apostle Paul says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Because salvation and all the promises of God depend on faith in Jesus Christ our God. It is not only the physical heirs of Abraham who receive the grace of God, but everyone who believes in this God. The grace of God rests on our Messiah, Jesus Christ, so that everyone can be counted among Abraham's offspring if they believe in Christ. Everyone who shares the faith that Abraham had will get every promise of God. Everyone who trusts in the promise of God, it will be guaranteed to them as Abraham's spiritual offspring. They are his spiritual offspring because they share the faith that he had. Abraham is the father of all those who trust in his God. Abraham is the father of all who trust in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, their God, because Abraham is the father of many different nations who believe in his God, not simply the father of the Jewish people. Although God did make his promise to Abraham and the people of Israel, God did make it to them, God will still fulfill his promise to true Jews who believe the promise he made to them. He'll fulfill it to all believing Jews. But God will also fulfill his promises to everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. Not simply Jews, not simply Abraham, not simply the physical offspring of Abraham, but to everyone who believes in Jesus, all the nations. The promise made to Abraham and the Jews has been extended through the new covenant we've talked about, which was made in the blood of Jesus Christ as he died, made to all who would trust in what Jesus has done in this covenant of the gospel. The good news of what Jesus has done. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what we must believe in order to be saved and also to receive all the promises of God. The gospel or good news of what Jesus has done in his life, death, and resurrection is what we must believe in this God of the resurrection. Romans 4, 17 and 18. As it is written in Genesis, God said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. God said it to Abraham in his presence, in the presence of the God in whom Abraham believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed in the promise of the good news given to him. Though he did not know all the details of God's fulfillment of that promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ that would come in the future. Abraham, what he did know is that he was in the presence of the God who can give life to the dead and who can call into existence things that do not exist. Though the hope that Abraham had in this life only seemed to point to a reality where he could not receive the promise of God, Abraham believed God's promise that his offspring would be many nations, because God is the God of the resurrection. God is the God who can create life where there is none. God is not only willing to keep his promise because he cannot lie, but he is also able to keep his promise because he has the power to keep it. The power to do whatever he chooses to do, and God chooses to keep his promise to all who will believe in that promise that he makes them. So believe him. Romans 4, 19. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. or when he considered the barrenness of his wife Sarah's womb. They weren't going to have a child, so how is he going to have a son? Abraham was old and his body was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. But God is the God who can resurrect the dead. He can resurrect Abraham's body. Sarah's womb was barren. She could not have a child. But God is the God who can bring life where there's none. God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Abraham and Sarah could have a child, though he was old and she was barren, and God could bring about his promise to make Abraham the father of many nations as he brought into being his son Isaac, and eventually the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel, through the line of Abraham, his son Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac's son, would come the Savior, Jesus Christ, who would fulfill this promise of God by bringing all the people of God who trust in him into the heavenly kingdom. That's some of us here. Romans 4, 20 through 22. No unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to his God. He was fully convinced that his God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham did not allow any disbelief in God's promise to make him waver in his faith in what God could and would do for him and all those who believe, who grew strong over time in their faith, so that their faith can bring glory to God. Abraham was fully convinced by God that God was able to do whatever he promised. This faith, this being fully convinced of what God was able to do, was counted to Abraham as the righteousness that he needs to enter God's kingdom, to enter heaven. Romans 4, 23-25. But the words "it was counted to him" in the book of Genesis were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. They're written for us. And it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised from the dead for our justification on Easter Sunday. 2,000 years ago. But when the scripture in Genesis tells us that Abraham's faith in God's promise was counted to him as the righteousness that he needed, these holy words of the Bible were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for all who would believe in God the Father who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead on that Easter Sunday. The righteousness that we need to enter God's kingdom will be counted to all who believe in Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life so that he could provide that righteousness to all who have faith in him. The righteousness of Jesus will be counted not just to Abraham who believed the God of the resurrection, but to all who believe the promise of the God of the resurrection. And Jesus was delivered up on the cross to die for our trespasses, to die for our sin, so that we would not have to take the punishment of hell that we deserve. All we must do is believe in Jesus who was delivered up for our sake. So believe. And finally, Jesus was raised from the dead physically for our final salvation, because true and actual righteousness in our hearts comes in the power of the resurrection, and this results in new spiritual life in the hearts who all who believe in that resurrecting power of God. In other words, the God of the resurrection not only resurrects the body of Jesus, but resurrects all those who believe in his resurrection, so that through new spiritual life, they might live lives of obedience to him. Jesus lived the righteous life we need. He died the death we deserve to die, and he was raised to life so that we might be raised to new life as well. So we must believe the promise of God given through the work of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done in his life, death, and resurrection, and be saved by our faith. And as we are saved, we will be blessed with every promise of God, just as Abraham was and will be. And the result is Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This Easter, all who have the faith that Abraham did have been justified, or made righteous by God. They have the righteousness they need through faith. Because God has counted to them their faith in his promise as the righteousness that they need to enter heaven. Because of this, all who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ have peace with God through him. And through what he has done, through our faith in him, Christians have obtained access by faith into the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God the Father, the forgiveness that we need for our sins, that all of us who follow Jesus now stand in this grace, and we can now rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the hope of the glory of Easter. Two applications. If there's a lot for you there, it's a lot. It simplifies down to these two applications for us. Number one, so if you have not believed in the promise of God made through Jesus Christ, the same promise made to Abraham so long ago, then just acknowledge your sins before God. Confess them to him. Repent of those sins and turn away from them because of their great evil, and then just simply believe in the promise of God made through Jesus Christ that he will save you from the penalty of hell that you rightly deserve. You need to believe you're a sinner, that you've done great evil, and that you deserve the punishment of hell, which is real. There really is a punishment of hell that you will receive if you do not repent and believe. And for anyone else who will not repent and believe. When you believe these things, you simply turn away from your sin, repent, and believe in what God has promised through Jesus, and you will be saved. But not only would you be saved from your sin and hell, but you will receive all the blessings of God in his promises and knowing him as your treasure. You will not receive physical money, riches, blessings now. In fact, the Bible promises that you will suffer in this life intensely. But the promises are made so that when you go to be with Jesus, you will receive all the promises you could ever imagine in his kingdom if you will believe that he will give it to you. So trust in Jesus and his promises. Application number two. And if you have believed, you believed already, you're already a Christian, you've already repented of your sin and believe these things, then continue to believe each day anew in his promises and trust that soon the glory of God, the promise of Jesus Christ that is made to the faith-filled Christian, will be fulfilled, because the God of Easter Sunday cannot lie. God will fulfill his promise, so rejoice in the hope of his glory, which comes through the grace of Jesus as he keeps his promise to us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I know these teachings can seem complicated. They're just salvation by faith. Faith, Father. That is what Romans 4 is teaching us. That is what Easter is all about. That is what we believe as Christians. When we have faith in Jesus, we are saved, and not only saved from our sin and hell, but richly blessed in the kingdom of heaven to come. Help us to believe in your promise as Abraham did. Believe in you now, today. Repent of our sins and believe in you every day for the rest of our lives until you fully fulfill your promise to us in your kingdom. I pray all of this in Jesus' name.